Welcome to our Friday Five Live podcast hosted by Meg Foster. Meg has spent 20 years in higher education focused on student success initiatives and working in areas such as orientation, faculty development, online learning, student leadership, and first-year initiatives.
Happy Friday, everybody. I think this is going to be our most fun Friday Five Live yet. We have been doing this, believe it or not, since the pandemic. I mean, it's hard to believe. Our first one was month two of the pandemic, and we've had an incredible run of fantastic guests. But today is definitely, I think, going to be the most fun we've had in any of our conversations. So we are here with Val and Aaron celebrating 20 years of Innovative Educators. It's the organization that brings us Friday Five Lives. And they're really going to talk about the connection of higher education and technology, kind of how they came to be in the place where they are now. These are two incredible women who, I'm going to brag on y'all for just a second, have, you know, amazing background in higher education, but also this incredible entrepreneurial spirit. And so have really dedicated their professional careers to working on solutions to support colleges and universities have successful students. And I am just thrilled that I get to be a tiny part of this experience and story. So before we kick off, Val and Aaron, we Innovative Educators, I would say that we love a good game and we love some trivia. And so we are going to be integrating, unlike any other Friday Five Live, y'all, we're going to be integrating some trivia questions throughout. So this is a mixture of some ed tech questions as well as some Innovative Educators questions. So here's question number one. I'm going to read it out loud for our listening audience. Innovative Educators launched in 2004 by offering which of the following to higher ed professionals? You can only pick one: an online webinar, a scholarship, an online student success workshop, or an in-person webinar. So we'll give our listening audience just a second to answer the question.
So Meg, it seems this trivia. I can't vote. Yeah. It says there. I tried to vote. I can't.
Sorry. That would be perhaps skewed. You may have had some ideas. So I know Melissa's going to close out our panels once we get our trivia polls for us, once we get those answered. But I think this is a nice way to kick us off for our first question. So we got a 63% response rate was an online student success workshop. 13% said an online webinar and a scholarship or an in-person webinar. So Val and Aaron, would you like to kick us off by telling us what was the correct answer to that trivia question?
Sure. I can go ahead because it's kind of a nice lead in then to our first question as well. But we did an online webinar with Jerry Anderson, who's a longtime student services higher ed staff person in the state of Colorado. She's extremely well known, and she just happens to be both of our sort of personal mentors in our time in higher ed. So
the correct answer, y'all, was not a student success workshop.
It was
not. I know that many folks experience Innovative Educators through those student success workshops, but she got the start was, and gosh, I didn't realize it was with Jerry. And if you haven't had the opportunity to interact with just what an amazing, amazing colleague in higher education. So Aaron, kind of fill us in a little bit more about what inspired you to start Innovative Educators and kind of how did you initially sort of vision, because this is a unique organization. I mean, it's a women run owned business, right? Always has been from the get go. And I think that that continues to be kind of a disruptor in a very good way in this space.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Meg. So Val and I have worked together since 2000, and we actually worked in advising, and we worked under Jerry Anderson, which is one of the reasons she's our mentors. We've known her for that long. We were both in advising at that time. I was the director of advising, and she and another gentleman who's a good friend of ours from Front Range Community College were the advisors. And around 2004, our paths started to sort of separate a little bit. I continued to work in student services, where Val was starting to move a little bit more into instructional design work, which is her background. And we realized we didn't like not being together. We really enjoyed working together. We feel like we brainstormed so well together. And so we found different ways to stay connected. And she had gone to a tech conference. So when we met, I was like, oh my God, how was the conference? I was so excited. And she was like, not very good. And I thought, oh, wow. And it was an expensive conference. I remember that. And she looked at me and she said, we could do better. And I said, of course we can, because that's just, I'm a maximizer. So when somebody has an idea, I like to support it no matter what. And that was kind of it. And then like 2 weeks later, we met again and she said, so about that conference company we're going to start. And I thought to myself, what is she talking about? But that's when I knew she was serious. So then we just started brainstorming. Well, if we did, what would it look like? And we did it right then and there. We did it on a napkin. We talked about what it would look like, what we wanted to do, how we wanted to help people. And it took off very quickly from there. I do think one of the funny parts was she said to me, well, you get to write the business plan. I said, well, why do I get to? She said, because you have an MBA. So then I said, well, then you get to design the website since that's kind of your background. And so we had those division of duties. But we officially formed in 2004 and we had that first webinar with Jerry Anderson, and it was on delivering amazing customer service. And if you've ever heard Jerry talk, she is the expert on customer service. And so we really felt like that was going to be the basis of what our company would look like. And so we just, you know, we're a small women-owned business. I like to think of us as a family. We do have some family members who work for us, but even the ones who are not blood relatives, we think of them as family, like Meg's one of our family members. And I think what's nice is because we're small, we can adapt very quickly. And I think in this day and age, being to adapt quickly, being flexible is an absolute necessity. We saw it during COVID. People needed to move very, very quickly, get their services online. And luckily for us, we were already online and had been online for a number of years. So it was very easy for us to pivot and to help our clients and our new customers who maybe had not heard of us before. So that's a little bit about us. Val, I don't know, do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I was just going to talk a little bit about our transition. I mean, we are still obviously providing professional development for faculty and staff, but about, you know, going back to the poll question, which I would say, I know one thing that has changed for me in the last 20 years, and that's my eyesight, because I couldn't see that question, but I had to blow up my percentage on there. But you know, we did start doing the online professional development, and that's how we started. But Aaron and I, our passion really is working with students and providing student support services. So, you know, about 5 or 6 years after we started, we realized we really needed to provide that same sort of professional development opportunities for students. And so that's where we, you know, one of the responses was online student success workshops, which maybe a lot of you know of us by providing student lingo workshops. And that really was where we started saying, hey, we need to provide these same types of services for students. Things are moving quickly in terms of what students want and need, and they deserve that type of access to support as well. So that was a pivot that happened maybe about 5 years after we started, is moved over to also providing services, those same types of services for students. So I think that's a big turning point for us.
That really is. And so then we're really able to address all the, you know, the needs of kind of the entire institution, right? As it comes to thinking about skill development, growth, continued professional development. So I think that's a good pause point, Melissa, for our next trivia question, which again, I'll read for the listening audience and for Val, so she doesn't have to blow up the screen. I'm there with you. I'm like, being real close.
How close did I get? Okay.
This one I found really interesting. So what year was PowerPoint, a tool we rely on for webinars invented. And I remember distinctly learning how to use PowerPoint to apply for a job. And the year was 2001, but your choices are 2007, 1997, 1987, or 1977. 1977 was an awesome year. Val and I were not born in that year.
None of us were, Meg.
No. We'll get just a minute to vote or to cast their thoughts on trivia two. Was it 2007, 1997, 1987, or 1977? And the overwhelming response, 70% said 1997. But 30% of you were correct and said 1987, which I was shocked to learn that PowerPoint had been around for that long. And it really does make you think about how we couldn't do the work we do, or I'm sure we would do it in some other format, but how far that tool has come. So nice transition to our next question. So over the last 20 years, as you think about kind of, I mean, the profound changes we've seen in the world of education, and Erin, I think you hit this. So you made such a great point about adaptability. And I feel like that is a theme that we have really seen talked a lot about in higher ed, especially in the last 2 or 3 years. But how do you feel like your work, you know, as you're observing these changes, what kind of work do you think that, or how has your work kind of evolved in response?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll drink.
You know, No, go ahead. Go for it, Erin. I was jumping ahead.
Oh, okay. You know, it's interesting. There's definitely a lot more competition than when we started, and there's a lot more free resources as well. And so we definitely have had to evolve in that way and stay flexible and stay up to date. I think some of the things that really has helped us evolve is staying connected to people who still work at the colleges. We really utilize them and their expertise to help keep us current. We also utilize them for any content development so that we know we are doing things that are relevant and that are needed. The other thing that I think is really important just in terms of the way we work and what distinguishes us maybe from other people is we really authentically care for the people we work with. It's important for us that they know who we are and that we know who they are. And it was interesting. We did a presentation for Herdy the other day, and we asked the panel, what are some of the things that influence them to buy a product from a higher ed vendor such as ourselves? And, you know, they talked about price and they talked about some things like that. But one of the gentlemen said, I have to like who I'm going to work with. And that was so powerful to us because we kind of feel the same way. We really consider the people we work with to be our partners, to be our friends. There's lots of sort of mini relationships that have happened between our staff people and some college personnel. I have to go back so far, but I think it was like 10, 12 years ago, Kristen was having a baby. That's somebody who works for us. And all of a sudden at the office, baby gifts just kept arriving, and they were coming from our college clients and friends. They just wanted to wish her well. And I just think that says a lot about who we are and maybe what sets us apart from other companies.
Yeah, and I'll talk a little bit about just our focus on evolving and changing with the times. I mean, we've always been focused on meeting students where they're at and trying to keep up with them. And I think that is evolving faster and changing faster than ever. But that's always been our guiding point. I remember back when Erin and I were advising, and, you know, even back, what was it, 25 years ago, we said, we think we need to provide an online student orientation for students. Back then it was on a floppy disk, but we gave it a shot. But we realized that students, we were working at a community college and realized that they needed those remote services. So that's always been our point of direction. Like, what do students need? What do they want? And I think as we look at what has changed in the world of education, I think it's just the speed of how technology is becoming more integral part of our lives and how we're having to adapt to that as a company. What can we do to keep providing those services for students? What do they need? And obviously COVID brought, you know, we all know that brought the dramatic shift and the shift to online learning. So I think that increased access to accessibility and services is critical, and that really drives our product development and what we're doing next. I think obviously AI is going to be a huge, just a huge component of education in the next 20 years and what's going to be happening and how we're going to have to adapt and change. But I would just say our just trying to keep up with students has really driven us to innovate and explore more than ever. But I'd be curious if we could pass it back to the audience, what they found to be the most profound changes in the last 20 years. What are they experiencing? I'd just be curious if people want to chat that in and how has that impacted their work or encouraged them to evolve and change.
It's a great question. So for the audience, feel free to throw in the chat. What have you seen change in your work? I mean, I think, you know, clearly we can reflect on the fact that nobody was really using PowerPoint until about 20 years ago,
right,
in the way that they are now, up to all the changes in the learning management systems. I mean, you think about just those very basic tools. But you also speak to sort of, I think there's a huge philosophical discussion that I know I've had in my experience in higher education, but I think that it's coming to a tipping point, and that is, how do we treat students on our campuses? I mean, just this week, a faculty member at Cornell, you know, was putting out on Twitter that none of her students can read, college level textbooks. That so I feel like one of the philosophies that you all have approached is we need to meet our students where they are, right? And I do feel like that is something that our higher ed, you know, maybe college, we're still working through that somewhat. Lots of discussion in the Chronicle of Higher Ed about providing customer service. What does that look like at institutions of higher education? So clearly you guys have been guiding that discussion now for 22 decades. But
Meg, I was going to say, I also think it's important to note, as much as we're moving to so many services being online and shorter content, you know, students want smaller snippets of information, I think it's important to remember that there's still a lot of students who desire face-to-face services. And so those, I don't think, can ever go away on the college campuses. I think it's really important to have those face-to-face services for the students who need it, who want it, who really appreciate it. And then, of course, having the online, again, for those who want their services online or who need them online. Maybe they can't come to campus. But I personally don't think online services will ever replace face-to-face. I think there needs to be a hybrid. That's my opinion. It might also be my desire, since I really believe in face-to-face connections.
Awesome. Well, shall we pause there? Go ahead, Val.
Yeah, I was just going to make one point about, you know, adapting and changing. And Dean, you brought up the rapid evolution of technology, and I think that's just a real challenge. I don't think it's any secret to any of us that higher ed tends to move a tad bit slower, or there's a lot of bureaucracy, and keeping up with that change can take some, it's hard. You know, can we keep up in our current systems with the needs of students and the ever-evolving and quickly evolving changes in technology? I think that's a real challenge to how do we change what we do and how we do it to keep up with those times. I think that's a struggle. So I don't know if anyone has anything to add on that point from the audience, but appreciate that comment, Jean, because I think it is a huge paradigm shift, and it's just gonna exponentially, I think, increase with AI, that change and that rapidness of development. So how are we all gonna keep up? I know I don't have a good answer, but if anyone else does, feel free to chat in.
Maybe somebody else can answer that question for us, Val, because I think
yeah.
that, yeah, I mean, I think that is a really critical one. And I know, you know, there's a lot of discussion about increases in like 3-year bachelor's degree programs, right? I mean, I do think we're seeing this responsiveness to needing to meet our students kind of where they are. And I think technology is kind of helping to maybe make that move more quickly than it might normally in our world of higher ed, which you're right. Sometimes takes a little bit. I know we were in a meeting just last week where somebody was like, whoa, we did this so fast. Like if that was crazy how quickly that moved, because I'm not used to things moving this fast, not making decisions. Well, should we pause there for our next trivia question, Melissa? I can't remember what these are. All right. So while Innovative Educators, we call us IE, now has employees from coast to coast, the company is headquartered in this city state. Your answers are Denver, Colorado, Austin, Texas, Boulder, Colorado, or sunny San Diego, California. So feel free, let us know if you know the answer. There may be some people on the line, we may not let their answer count because I know they know the answer to this question. But we literally have employees from California to the East Coast, from New York, and even in Canada. So we're a multinational company, you know. So. All right. Well, Melissa, shall we see how people have answered? And our answers are, the vast majority of you got this one right. The correct answer is Boulder, Colorado. Beautiful Boulder, Colorado. So, Val and Aaron, we're grateful that you all get us together in that gorgeous part of the world. Couple times a year. So you kind of touched a little bit on this, but trends and innovation. So we've kind of mentioned AI. And where do you think, not just technology, but you know, if you could dust off the crystal ball for me, where do you think higher ed's going to go in the next decade? If you think about innovative educators and who you're serving and whatever year that'll be, 2034. What do you think?
I mean, it's hard for me to not talk about it in relation to AI. I really feel like that is going to be the biggest game changer that we've seen maybe in our lifetime in higher ed. I really feel like it's going to force everyone to rethink how they develop assignments, how they work to meet individual student needs, how they grade. I think back to some of my most memorable assignments growing up, and I feel like they were, you know, I remember one time we had to design a house or create a recipe book. They were very creation-based, the ones that really stick in my head. And I feel like with AI, it's really going to force us to shift the way students learn. I think it's going to become more project-based, more real-world-based, more just like moving up Bloom's taxonomy to a creation level. I mean, I'm truly excited about that. I think, you know, it's just not going to be about memorizing or, you know, taking those multiple choice tests anymore. I think it's going to challenge all of us to completely rethink how we do things for the better. In my opinion, I think it's really going to elevate not only how we work with students, but how they learn and how they then the skills they have after they come out of college, I feel like are going to be very different than they were 10 years ago. So to me, I think it's just impossible to think about the future without thinking about how AI is just going to change all of our lives. And for me, it's exciting. I mean, I know everyone doesn't think that way, but I think just embracing it and hoping that education does get to that point where it's more about embracing and realizing like this isn't going away and what do we need to do and how can we make this a positive thing for students and faculty members and student services professionals? How can we incorporate this into our everyday lives and to elevate everyone? So I'm really excited about those changes ahead. But I do think it's a big undertaking. I think a lot of systems that we've been doing for years and years and years will completely need to be rethought, which in terms for us, I mean, that's an exciting opportunity to, I know Jean's on the session today, and she's one of our expert speakers on AI. And I think it's just exciting for us to be able to talk about that and bring that to faculty and staff and teach that in our professional development workshops and in our student success workshops for students. How can we empower them to use these tools in a positive way? And so I'm excited about that change. And I think it's going to happen very quickly in the next decade. I think education can look completely different in 10 years.
I also, when I think about 10 years from now, I think those students are 7 or 8 years old, which of course is what my grandson is.
Right.
And your son's 5 or 6. I can't keep up with them. And already what they are doing at their ages, I can't imagine what they'll be doing when they're 18. And how do we as educators and adults keep up with technology to be able to match them where they're at, because they are going to grow geometrically in their skill development. So
definitely. And that ability to personalize the learning and their being able to, you know, grow and change so quickly based on, you know, more skill-based type learning, I think is huge. Just, I agree. I think it's going to be hard to keep up, but I think we can do it. I think it's an exciting opportunity. And obviously they'll teach us things as well. But I think, I think this is another great question to push back to chat. If anyone else has any thoughts or chiming in on what does education look like in 10 years, would love to hear from the audience.
And I know we've got Jean on, who often is a prognosticator for us, isn't that the right word, about what that future might look like. But you bring up some really, you know, it is exciting. I think one of the approaches that I really appreciate about how we've looked at AI as an organization and as we're talking about it with faculty, staff, and students is, let's not be afraid of this, right? Let's, how can we break this down in a way that's manageable? Because it is overwhelming. I mean, when as you're thinking, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking like, it's exciting to think about the ways that we can now deliver content to students so much more accessibly, right? That really breaks down those barriers to lots and lots of ways. And also that idea of project-based learning. I mean, that's what we do in the work world. And there's a real demand for that, I think, in our educational system. So Jean's, of course, chatted in more applied, interactive, real. I think we're going to have to shift our traditional views on what it means to teach and how we define and measure learning. And I do think we're in a place where I think that very understandably so, that's really hard to wrap your head around. You know, I think we are asking more and more of faculty and staff members without giving them this. It's like, well, you got to do all this stuff, but we're not going to give you the actual space to create, right? to learn, absorb, apply, because there's so much work that has to be done. So, you know, I appreciate the sentiments I certainly have heard about, whoa, because it is really a process of rethinking, but I think it's good that, you know, with the help of Jean, I know Melissa's been excited about what she's learned. Like, we're all kind of to bring that excitement to the conversation,
I
think is helpful. Because I do feel like
that's important. I think that's a really important point for students, too. That's why I hope we shift to that excitement level as opposed to the fear that was last year. I think with AI, if we can move more towards this is a super exciting tool that obviously they're going to have to know when they graduate from college. So we shouldn't keep running from it. How do we get students super excited about these possibilities and then challenge them in the way, as Jean mentioned, you know, what kind of assignments we're creating, how you're teaching, more facilitation, as opposed to our old thoughts about, you know, lectures and teaching. I mean, that has evolved, I think, over the last 15 years, moving away from that. But I feel like we have to make this huge jump in the next 10 years or else they're not going to graduate with the skills they need in the workforce.
I was thinking about in our K-12 system, I know there's been a long discussion about 21st century learning, like what skills do kids need to graduate? And they're, you know, working in groups, public speaking. I mean, there's some, I've recently thought, I was, you know, sitting in a class and it's the circle up on the wall with the wedges of the pie, right? These are our 20. And I was like, whoa, there's not enough there on technology. Like those skills have changed in the last year. And in ways that we're trying to still grasp. So awesome. Well, Melissa, shall we do another trivia question so we get ready for our next
Yes, we
question?
should, but it seems to be stuck.
Oh,
Technology.
So let's get
What are we
what
going
I
to
know.
do?
Melissa, like that would be a lovely thing, Meg, or you can just move on.
We could chat. We could chat in if you
Yeah,
want to
we'll
read the
chat in the
question. We
answers.
can do it old fashioned.
Melissa, you want to just read it to us?
Yes.
Okay.
Val and Aaron are known for their love of the following, and the choices are
Ooh, this is
wildlife,
scary.
especially bears,
Okay.
football, or aerial font.
So you're three. So Val and Aaron are known for their love of wildlife, especially bears. That was answer A. B is football, or C is the font type Arial. Arial, not Ariel like the Little Mermaid. So we have some votes for wildlife. We wanted to do something that's a little silly. Oh, thank you. And Melissa's put it into the chat.
Oh, great.
There. So if anybody else, we'll give you another 30 seconds or so to weigh in. Oh, we have a vote for football. I don't know if that vote counts, though. I'll let you all decide. All right. Well, my
Our
experience.
discussion may have swayed people earlier about the bears.
Yes.
Right.
Bliss, why don't you answer this one? I feel like that would be appropriate given who answered correctly.
I believe the answer is football.
That is my understanding. I think we have a healthy appreciation for wildlife when it's far away at a distance.
And we don't definitely do not like Arial font. So one of the jokes in the company is anytime there's a shared Google Doc and it is not in Calibri or Lotto, that would be a second favorite font, Val cannot continue the meeting. She has to grab the doc and change the font. And we all know it. So like if we see it, we quickly change the font as well. So
Wrong
we
aversion. I'm
definitely.
not, we're not quite sure where that came from, but nope, I cannot look at Ariel.
Yes.
Then we're big football fans. I grew up at the University of Notre Dame from like a teeny little girl, so I'm a huge Irish fan. Please don't judge me for that, especially after last weekend's game. We're big pro football fans too.
Which is, makes for a fun fall in early
Yes,
winter.
definitely.
So we can always chat football. Some of us may be more college leaning than pro team, but we got it all covered, is the bottom line.
Yes.
Well, awesome. Well, as we wrap up our last question, and folks in listening in, if you've got some questions, definitely throw them in our chat and we'll weave those in. So, you know, this has been quite, I mean, I hope you all are having a moment to like think about, like kind of reflect back on the last 20 years, right? And I personally, I hope you're really proud of all that you've built because it's pretty amazing, in my totally unbiased opinion. But so as you reflect on this journey, you know, what are some kind of key lessons that you feel like you've learned? I mean, you're really, you are leaders in this field. You know, the work that you've done has really been something new and exciting, I think, in our ed tech space. And then any lessons that you know you've learned as you think about kind of how you've helped influence success on college campuses. So a big question.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Meg. Even just listening to Val talk and then listening to me talk, I see the differences in our experiences. You know, you can really hear when Val talked, she's got such a firm grasp about technology and education. I consider myself to be a bit more just support services and people oriented. Not saying that Val isn't, but my answer is probably going to focus more in that. And I don't know if this is necessarily a lesson that I learned with innovative educators, but I was always taught, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated. And that goes from the people who work with us, which I see several of them are on the call. So shout out to Meredith, Natalie, and Wendy, Melissa, and Meg. Hope I didn't miss anybody. Just, you know, be a good person, do the right thing, treat people well. Family comes first. If somebody on our staff is having a problem or an issue, or they're just struggling, everybody else jumps in and is supportive. And I think that happens on college campuses as well. At least I definitely hope it's happening there. It was one of the things I think that Val and I really loved about working together. We knew we could count on one another. And I think no matter what you do in life, if you put that first, you will always be successful and you can always feel good about the job you've done.
I think that, you know, translates obviously to our clients too, Erin. I feel like we just have this special relationship with our clients where we view them the same way. And then sometimes they come and work for us like Meg, because Meg is a former client. And so we're so lucky to have her on staff now and just develop that relationship throughout the years. So just rethinking what that, you know, client company relationship looks like. I feel like we think about it differently. We really, you know, we know their pets and their kids and they know ours. And it's just a different level of a relationship. And I think that's really been important to us throughout the years. I also think that, you know, I remember, and we are at fault of this too, but I've really tried to focus on making sure our services are student-centered and trying to get their feedback. We oftentimes forget to in the development phase, and that happened so often at the college where things were developed in a vacuum, like we're developing this for students and we didn't ask them anything about it or ask their opinion. And so I think that's really critical lesson that is hard because I think you move so quickly when you're in the development phase, but trying to remember that we need to get that feedback from who we're developing this for on the front end. And I think that's really critical lesson learned for everyone. And it just happens so often when working at the school and happens in our work too. And I just think we all have to be really cognizant of that fact that let's get their feedback first before we move forward with things. I think it's also just important to have fun. I mean, we are a unique organization and we do some silly things and memorable things. And I think it's just really critical that we always keep that as part of our work with clients and internally and with colleges and with students. We got to make sure that we're always still having fun, or what's the point? So I think that's been something we've tried to weave in over the years and has really helped and made a difference in our day-to-day. I'm trying to think of some other things. I think there's been some great developments and then also some setbacks for equity and access. You know, we're learning different things with the availability of technology. I feel like that brings opportunity, but then realizing that digital divide is becoming, you know, greater, and we're really working at how can we help in those areas? How can we support those students? And so that's just something that we're passionate about. I don't know if it's a lesson learned, but it's something that we're constantly trying to do and think about. And so really directing services to improve equity and access for all students.
I think it's important. Yeah. I know we're probably getting short on time, but just making sure we're open to change and evolving ourselves. We certainly don't have all the answers. We rely on our clients and on our expert speakers, and just being open to change and being flexible and being able to pivot quickly so that we can help our college partners, you know, make their jobs a little bit easier. We hear all the time how, you know, you're always expected to do more with less, and, you know, people don't have enough time. And so how can we continue to may produce products in collaboration with them that will make their lives easier, and just staying open to that.
Yep, I really heard some themes that I think are really important. You know, you talked about kind of that relationship, the partnership, and I think that even ties into the conversation I had last month in our podcast about Kate Denial's work on the pedagogy of kindness. And when we approach a classroom from a place of shared partnership and relationship building, I mean, how powerful that is, right? And that space of being flexibility, of coming at our relationships in our higher ed world from a place of listening and wanting to really understand of access and equity. I mean, I think you've managed to beautifully hit on some really big themes that are touching our college campuses just constantly right now. So Val and Aaron, that was gorgeous. What would you say?
Well, and just going back to like our beginnings, I think it really, you know, who we work with and what we do. I mean, we're extremely passionate about both of those things. And I think you have to have both of those things to really make it work. And we've been lucky enough to, you know, work with great people, both clients and everyone at Innovative Educators. And then it's just we really believe in student success and helping students graduate and all the things that need to go into that. And I think the combo of those two things is just a lesson that, you know, I won't take away. I don't want to work anywhere else. You know, I want to continue to do both those things with the people that I love. And so I think those are, you know, two key concepts that really make us successful.
Well, thank you both. We do have a few minutes remaining, and we have some fun. You know, we believe in fun, right? So yep. I know there's one more trivia
Bring
question.
Teddy up.
We got Teddy. We got one more trivia question. And then we've also got Jean Mandernack on the line first. So here's our trivia question. 99% of students, this may be a slight exaggeration, are viewing Innovative Educator content on a smartphone. Mm-hmm. Apple introduced the iPhone in what year? Your guesses are 2004, 2005, 2006, and 2007. So we'll give folks just a second.
And isn't that crazy? I feel like I've had my iPhone forever.
I know.
And can't
but
live
we
without
have not.
It.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in one of our presentations, we often talk about the fact that supposedly, I'm not sure who measured this, but as a result of the iPhone, adults now have less ability to focus than a goldfish. I don't
that's
know.
Right. I heard that too.
That's
like
true
7 seconds or something, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's like short.
And can pay attention for mm-hmm. eight. So, 2004 was what folks said, biggest guess, but my understanding was, and tied with 2007. 2007 was the year that the iPhone premiered.
Wow. So,
and now you can buy your 15, 16 versions of it.
Basically, Meg, what you're saying is we're older than the iPhone. i.e. is older than the iPhone.
Yes, whether you like to claim that or not. So yes.
Right.
Well, we are kicking off. So this is celebrating 20 years of all the amazing work that Innovative Educators is doing, but also celebrating all these relationships. I think that really is something, as you guys have said over today, makes us unique and special. And so we are really thrilled to have Jean Mandernack on with us. This year, we're going to celebrate each of these awards kind of throughout the rest of the year, wrapping them up 20 awards for our 20th year. So, Melissa, is Jean going to unmute or turn on her camera? Oh, yes, there she is.
Hi, Jean.
Yeah. Jean. That's really
hello.
It would be
hello.
Our. So, Jean has just like helped us out so much this year in understanding this amazingly crazy world of AI, and has given umpteen million presentations on AI, both for faculty, staff, as well as for students. And so we've been really thrilled to present Jean with the quadruple AI award. I mean, I feel like this is like a gymnastics thing almost, you know. It's she is innovative. She has been impactful, influential, and a very insightful in all that she has shared. And Jean, we have mailed you, I'm going to hold it up, a little trophy that will be flying its way through the, you know, skies to you. So Jean, any, as we kind of wrap up, you were so great to chat in, but I feel like this is such a perfect place to have you as we're thinking about 20 years and all the changes in higher ed technology. So any wise words you want to send us off?
I have no wise words, but I think it is really exciting when we think about, you know, you were asking all these questions about things that happened like 20 years ago, and we're all like, oh my gosh, that seems forever ago. And I think it's really exciting when we go like, what is it going to be like in 20 years when we can't even possibly fathom what that looks like? One of my colleagues says all the time, like, if you can remember DOS, AI is currently in its DOS phase. And I'm like, I can't imagine what it's going to look like when it leaves its DOS phase. Like, I just, I'm excited about the possibility, and I'm excited for companies like Innovative Educators who are helping faculty and universities, even when we don't have the answers, think about the questions and think about the problems, because we will be the ones that reshape higher education and education as a whole going forward. So I just think it's really exciting.
Well, and I think Melissa's put us a beautiful spot. Jean doesn't run when we say we have an idea for a new project, but you know, and we're so fortunate that we get to collaborate with all kinds of higher ed professionals all across the country to do this very work, Jean. And you're really right to, maybe we don't have the answers, but to ask the questions, what are these things that we need to be thinking about? And Jean, you're one of the people who always helps us come up with questions.
Yeah, thanks, Jean. Thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So thanks for hopping on today. Well, happy Friday. Yeah. Val and Aaron, you survived your first Friday Five Live podcast. Congratulations. Ooh. You did awesome. We hope, I always send folks off with the hope that there is time this weekend for rest and renewal. I know we all need that in our lives. And we're excited to continue discussing AI and technology. I want to have some conversations about reading in the college environment, because that is coming under a lot of fire right now in higher ed news. So lots to come this fall semester. But with that, everybody have a fantastic Friday. And Val and Aaron, thanks so much for all that you do. We're so fortunate to get to work with you.
Thanks, Meg.
Thank you, Melissa. Meg.
And thanks, everybody, for joining.
Have a great day, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Friday Five Live is brought to you by Innovative Educators. Innovative Educators offers 6 online services for your onboarding support and training needs. Visit us at innovativeeducators.org to see how we can support your student success initiatives.